This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast with Brad the Big Noise Evans and Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston. We are stepping into the discount den. Today we did running backs in the last episode, and today we're going to focus on wide receivers. And these are players that are going outside the top 40 based on average draft position in drafts conducted just this month. So recently in best ball exercises as well. Some drafters that actually have some skin in the game. So it's meaningful and reliable ADP information. Before we get in our Fantasy 5 today, let's talk about a couple players that just missed the cut here, Brandon, and earned some honorable mention status. It's a pair of Moores. Pair of rookies as well, one out on the right coast, Elijah Moore of the New York Jets, and the other on the left coast, or at least close to it in the desert, in Rondale Moore. Elijah Moore going at wide receiver 54, 126.0 in average draft position. His stock has been skyrocketing here of late based on all the buzz coming out of Jets training camp pretty much every single day. There seems to be a new bit of hyperbole tied to the rookie at Ole Miss. And Rondale Moore, going a little bit later, wide receiver 60, 147.8 in terms of average draft position. Another player that seems to be ascending right now in virtual exercises. So, what side do you lean more heavily toward, Team Elijah or Team Rondale?
I got to say, I'm a little bit more interested in Elijah because there is a conceivable path to him being the go-to guy in this offense. I know a lot of people want to point to Corey Davis. They brought him in to be that guy. You can't say that for Rondale Moore. There's no way he's going to usurp DeAndre Hopkins. But with Elijah Moore, you mentioned just the hyperbolic praise that has been going his way since the moment he was drafted and set foot on a field for OTAs. Just wowing everybody. And you always kind of like the rookie combination of quarterback and receiver. A lot of times they get extra reps together because of rookie camps and the different practices where the veterans won't be there. So it's conceivable, like I said, that Elijah Moore, who is just a fantastic athlete and has been showing it day in and day out, could be Zach Wilson's favorite target here. And we got to remember, the stink of Adam Gase is gone. He's been like Ted Lasso. He's been relegated.
Well, he's in high school now, calling
plays.
Yeah,
he's been relegated all the way to high school. They even skipped a level. They made him go all the way down to high school. So this is the San Francisco regime, and so we do not have to view the Jets in the same light anymore.
Yeah, and look, let's say this. I don't entirely disagree with you, and I'm going to play devil's advocate and advocate for Rondale here in a second, but Elijah Moore is not going to be Justin Jefferson the sequel. All right, Justin Jefferson had the fifth greatest season by a rookie pass catcher in the history of the NFL last year, right? So you got to temper your expectations, but it could still be quite viable and turn a nice, tidy profit again at that wide receiver 54 price point. I mean, this is a guy most well known for lifting his leg. Remember the Egg Bowl a couple of years in the end zone? One of the best touchdown celebrations of all time. He forced a ton of missed tackles last year, 18 for Ole Miss. He had one of the highest contested catch rates as well, at 73%, and he's versatile. You know, and a guy that, you know, can play inside, can play a little bit outside as well. So he's not limited to just the slot. So I think, you know, realistically, his floor could be 60, 65, 800, and a handful of touchdowns. But I think Rondale Moore is in a similar vicinity. Now, you've got, you know, a lot of mouths to feed there with DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Christian Kirk. Edmonds is going to have a large role in the pass game. But what I love about Rondale Moore is his electricity. Some of Elijah just so explosive in space, and I cannot get out of my head the memories of what he did in 2018 and the legendary year that he had with Purdue. He broke 37 tackles that year, Brandon. 37 for the Boilers. And if Kingsbury can get him in space, as I've said before, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile, and he's a much better than advertised route runner despite his diminutive frame. So I think both definitely profit and praiseworthy in the middle to later rounds of your fantasy drafts this year. With that, let's get to it in our latest edition of the Fantasy Five.
Number five.
All right, again, we are counting up to our favorite a player at the wide receiver position hanging out in the bargain bin. Go ahead and start off with number five on your list, because you and I, we've diverged on five and four, but our 3-2-1, believe it or not, is identical. So who's number five, again, on your discount wide receiver list?
Yeah, it's Jarvis Landry, and he might be a little bit boring for some, but man, the guy is just a week in and week out will give you something. And last year, he finished wide receiver 36 and a half PPR. That was his worst season of the last six. He's been traditionally a top 24 receiver. I think to each of the 5 years before that, he was that. And last year, he missed his first game of his career is because he had COVID. I think he was coming back from, I believe, a hip injury, and that was giving him problems, and he was dealing with all sorts of ailments. But the guy is a gamer. He went out week in and week out, and the only thing that forced him off the sideline was COVID. So you know what you're going to get from Jarvis Landry. And sometimes in this range of the draft, like, you love that. You love that certainty. And again, he has always delivered above where he's going right now outside the top 40.
Yeah, I get on board with that. My guy number five is Devontae Parker. And I know he just missed your list. And with somebody that would definitely receive votes in the poll here, the top 25 poll, right? But Parker is deserving of a spot. He's a wide receiver 49 right now, 115.2 in terms of ADP. How could you forget what he did 2 years ago? You know, a guy that was a top 10 fantasy wideout, and who was still only 28 years old. So he's still got, you know, in the midst right now of his prime years, you know, former top pick of this franchise out of Louisville. And last season, you know, despite some of the soft tissue issues, he was battling through a hamstring injury in 14 games. He had 14 red zone targets. That was wide receiver 18 at the position. You know, he got Tua Tagovailoa, who I know you adore, and you expect him to take a step forward. But, you know, I know people are talking about Will Fuller. He's going considerably higher than Parker. A lot of people talking about Jaylen Waddle. He's going considerably higher than Parker. They're forgetting that Parker is probably going to be the number one this offense, and Will Fuller more than likely is going to miss time with a pulled hamstring, which seems like a guarantee at some point. So I think Parker could get anywhere between 60, 65 receptions, right around 900 yards, and it wouldn't shock me, too, if he finished with 7-8 touchdowns this upcoming year. So great value there on a pair of wideouts, especially me. Parker, going to make you some pennies.
Number four.
All right, let's move on to number four, my man. Who made your list of slash-priced wide receivers?
Oh, it's Curtis Samuel. Top 24 wide receiver last year, or top 25, can play anywhere on the field and put up his best numbers last year. But now he's back with Ron Rivera. I think he's with the best quarterback of his career in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And remember, he was with late, you know, like past his prime as a passer, Cam Newton. I think he had some Kyle Allen in there, and then he had Teddy Bridgewater last year. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick raises his roof more than he's had at a quarterback position in his career. He's still in his prime, and he's primed to play opposite a defense attention-grabbing Terry McLaurin, so he could reap some benefits of that as well.
Oh, be still my beating heart. Just the mere mention of Terry McLaurin, how much I love him, Brandon Funston. That's why I have him aggressively ranked at wide receiver 8, and I refuse to move him down from that position. So, yeah, the adoration, the man crush, the man to see, quite fantastic that I have those feelings toward Terry McLaurin. I also have fantastic man feelings toward Michael Pittman. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Brad, Carson Wentz, we don't know when he's going to be back. You know, his timetable is anywhere between 5 to the next century when he could return to the field for this Colts franchise. But Jacob Eason's been making some strides in camp. Sam Ellinger has gotten some buzz as well. I think whoever is the starter for this Colts team week one, and there's still a chance it could be Wentz if he heals quickly enough in time. Hopefully he's got some of that Wolverine blood pumping through the veins. I think Pittman is being discounted too much as a result of recent events. And, of course, Quentin Nelson, too, out, a key cog on that offensive line. But Pittman has slipped from, like, wide receiver 42 in drafts a couple of weeks ago. He is now down to wide receiver 50, 116.8. And I would like to remind people, he's a big-bodied guy. Anything that you read from beat writers out of Indianapolis camp right now is saying that Pittman is on the precipice of a breakout. And last season, Brandon, no wide receiver, none, had a higher yak per reception with at least 50 targets than Michael Pittman at 7.36 in that category. The guy can get up, climb the ladder, and damn well get the ball more often than not. Very physical. And again, a player I expect to take a major step forward. So 900 yards, 1,000 yards, maybe 70 catches, handful of TDs, entirely on the table for Pittman this year. So I'm going to go with Pittman. He's going to go with Samuel. And we're going to agree to disagree until now.
Number three
on the list, Brandon. You and I are locked hand in hand right now. We're riding tandem bicycles. We're definitely skipping shirtless right now and a patch of daisies. And I may rub your nipples later because we love who at number three?
The Slim Reaper. We love Devonta Smith. We don't love that he's out right now with the little injury. It's considered minor, but man, look at that Philadelphia Eagles receiving core. I just cannot get excited about Jalen Reagor, Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward. That to me is an empty cupboard. Devonta Smith, we love volume, and that's the biggest thing here. He's got great talent as well. I don't love the talent of the quarterback throwing to him, but you know, volume should help that in the end. And I think Devonta Smith, just because of that volume, is almost like he's going to finish top 40 if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I know what people are saying. Well, he's too skinny, you morons. He can't do anything. He's 6 feet, 170 pounds. He needs to pack on the muscle and add some weight. I don't think it's a big deal. You know, last season, remember, he played for Alabama. In which he won the Heisman Trophy, what scored 20 touchdowns. And according to Matt Harmon, our former colleague at Yahoo Sports, who runs Reception Perception, he had a 72% success rate against man coverage and press coverage last year.
Well, go try to find film of him getting jammed off the line. You can't do it. He is great at that. So even despite his size, he's got the savvy and the quicks and the know-how to avoid those jams.
Yeah, he's got the cutting ability. And yeah, you're right, the savvy. He's smart, man. He really is. And he glides. He's got some Gumby-like ability. I said it before, it reminds me of Brandon Lloyd, former University of Illinois, great, a former fantasy stud. Remember the Denver Broncos, the connection with Kyle Orton? I think he was number one in fantasy that year. Look, I understand that Devonta Smith should go to like more medieval, middle-aged festivals and get those oversized turkey legs. You know, they're just like, that's a turkey leg? What were these, like nuclear turkeys? Like, what is this? Doesn't make any sense. But I think he is going to be much better in advertising. You mentioned a clear path to opportunity. I think it's 1,000 yards, man. I think it's 6 to 8 touchdowns for him. And you got a big arm quarterback in Jalen Hurts who's going to uncork. And with his 4.44 40-yard speed, Smith is going to race past a lot of DBs and win in those, explosive pass play situation. So at his price point right now and average drafts going, and he's been discounted a little bit more due to the recent injury, wide receiver 39, 90.3, we are all in on the fly, Eagle fly, and Devonta Smith.
Number two.
All right, from one field stretcher to another, let's go to my squad in the Chicago Bears. Brandon, who else are we in love with?
Oh, Darnell Mooney. We love him, but I don't think we love him as much as his head coach, Matt Nagy, loves him, comparing him to Tyreek Hill, recently saying he's been on fire with his route running. Like, Nagy threw him, it was a fifth rounder last year, I believe, threw him into the starting lineup right away. I think that surprised a lot of people, but he more than held his own, has fantastic deep threat ability with his speed, but also showing, as Matt Nagy said, some route running savvy this year. And I'll tell you what, Justin Fields is also getting a lot of praise.
Oh, yes,
and
he is.
Things are trending more towards him being on the field very early in the season. I think that could be a match made in heaven for Darnell Mooney's skills and the big arm of Justin Fields. So, yeah, everybody's favorite sleeper right now seems to be trending towards Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is creeping up slightly in terms of ADP, but not massively. Wide receiver 51, 117.8, sandwich in between Michael Pittman and Marvin Jones. God, that would be a brutal decision for me to make in a fantasy draft between Pittman and Mooney. Oh, man, I hope I don't have to deal with that. My two loves, I would have to figure that one out. But, here's a key stat on Darnell Mooney. This is how lousy Trubisky and Nick Foles were last year for this Bears offense. He was number 10 in unrealized air yards and number 71 in catchable target rate. So you bring in Fields, who's got a cannon for an arm, and he's more accurate You know, that's one of his calling cards at the Ohio State. And, you know, there were some people knocking him for reads and progressions. And again, all I did is watch a lot of tape on Justin Fields. I watched him murder opposing Big Ten defenses. And I go back to that, college football playoff game against Clemson and how they picked him apart, you know, with some busted ribs. You know, Justin Fields is a gamer. And you're right. I think it's, you know, at the latest week four against Detroit that he'll finally seize the reins from Andy Dalton. And once that happens, I mean, it's to the moon with Darnell Mooney, a player. Again, you're getting after pick, 90 or so in fantasy drafts right now, at 117.89, that could certainly pay a massive instant dividend this season.
Number one.
All right, numero uno. Who is the top taco on our favorite discounted wide receivers? Brandon, you and I, again, share a similar love for whom?
Yes, time to step up to the mic. Mike Williams of the Chargers. And, you know, we love him because, well, it's Joe Lombardi now as the offensive coordinator who came out and said he'll be playing the Michael Thomas role. And, you know, that's the thing with Mike Williams. They've been just kind of setting him out on the sideline and setting him deep and getting crushed trying to make these big, long catches. It's been, it's time to use that skill and that size across the field a little bit more, you know, so getting him a little bit more than just the one trick pony he's been. We've seen him go over 1,000 yards. We've seen him score 10 touchdowns. He's got that ability, but we haven't seen him go over 50 catches. I think we finally are going to see him in a role where he's going to have the volume to push, 60, 70 catches. And with his yard per catches, even if that comes down a little bit, there's upside. I think we're chasing ceiling here with this guy, this big power forward of a wide receiver attached to a really good quarterback arm.
Yeah, Mike Williams, a guy going around the same time as downtown Yuma, Marquise Brown, no. Jalen Waddle, no thank you. Mecole Hardman, no. I mean, I take Mike Williams, 99 out of 99 times, actually. I love the guy. I'm with you there. And Lombardi's saying all the right things. And, you look at what he, where he ranked in terms of unrealized air yards. He was wide receiver 14, and he was wide receiver 100 in catchable target rate. And you're like, well, what's changed? It's Justin Herbert still. But it's just like you mentioned, it's how they're going to deploy him. Understandably, his catchable target rate would be lower because all he was doing was running tons of streak routes down the left and right hash mark. And that's why his ADOT was top 10. Now, if he can run, some of those shorter and more immediate routes, and Herbert can place the ball in his wide catch radius, the guy's at 6'4", 218 pounds, he's going to win those situations and hopefully stay healthy and not, have a kidney dislodged from some of the hits that he was taking previously. So I'm with you, man. And we love his props as well. And the over 900.5 receiving yards available right now at legal sports books, a couple of them across the country. And that, our friends, is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on Twitter at Brandon Funson. You can follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? Really helps out our show tremendously. We'll be back hopefully later this week with another episode. And until next time, adios, amigos!